You're listening to a message from Canby Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
I love getting to speak whenever I have the opportunity, especially here on Sundays, because I find that when I speak to adults, I do have to kind of bring up my game a little bit, because I'm used to talking to students where I can just make a silly joke every now and then off the fly, and it kind of keeps their attention. But talking to adults is always so much more fun and interesting a little bit. Students, you guys are also my favorite, so don't think that I'm saying I love adults more than you guys, because you guys are my favorite. But I honestly really love speaking to all ages. I even love getting into kids' classrooms every now and then and just getting my hands, I almost said dirty, but that kind of would have been weird. Getting my hands like in the ministry and getting to see Jesus through the eyes of a child again. I have a 3-year-old son, so I get to do that pretty often, but I do love to serve in the kids' classes every now and then and just talk about things like some of the things they go through, where they learn about peace, or they learn about grace, or they learn about hope, and get to explain it to a child and be reminded myself, like, this is super basic. Why do I have so much trouble with this? Why do I have trouble being graceful? Why do I have trouble being hopeful? Why do I have, how come I trouble with the idea of being kind? Something we do with our son every Wednesday, or not every, well, every night, is Sabrina and I will do affirmations with him, where he'll be laying in bed, we've prayed for him, he's gotten his story, and before we like sing a song or two, we'll have him say things like, Liam, say, I am kind. He'll go, I'm kind. We'll say, Liam, say, I'm brave. He goes, I'm brave. We'll say, Liam, say, I'm strong. He goes, I'm strong. He'll like clench his fists. And then we say, like, you know, smart, handsome, loved. And it's just so elementary to just be remind ourselves that, hey, we like these things are so good. And to see these things through the eye of a child is always so refreshing to me. So I love speaking regardless of the age. I'm just excited to be here this morning. And this morning, Jesus thought it would be a good idea, and I say Jesus because he inspires 99% of what I do. I hope so. Thought it'd be a really good idea this morning as we head into Christmas season to talk about his name. And yeah, he's got the names Jesus and Christ, first and last, but he also has this name Emmanuel. And we'll go into these three names, kind of what they mean here in a little bit, but I thought it would just be so good to talk about the idea of Jesus' name Emmanuel, God with us. Is that we now head into the Christmas season. It's, I feel like, just finally socially acceptable to do and talk about Christmas things. I mentioned earlier Thanksgiving, and those people who love Thanksgiving, I understand you, but I just love Christmas way more. And it's not even the gifts. It's like the music is better, the decorations are better, the Thanksgiving food is really good, but like the sweets at Christmas are better. And it's socially acceptable to do all these things now, whereas Sabrina, my wife, and I have been doing these things like eating cookies, listening to Christmas music. We decorated like 2 weeks ago before Thanksgiving. We were like, this has been a crazy year. We just need some Christmas decorations up in our house. Like, we need the joy of Christmas right now. I decorated the tree, our house this weekend. And so you can say what you want, and we're allowed to have different opinions on this, but like Christmas, in my opinion, is so much better. My son, Liam, has his own he actually has two decorations that are his favorite things in the world. One being a Santa, which you can get at Target. And it's like, literally, it's like a motorized Santa that's climbing a ladder with like a string of lights like are attached to his back. And he just climbs up and down this ladder until you turn him off. But it's built to like go in your Christmas tree, like Santa's hanging the lights in your Christmas tree. And it plays Christmas music for you. And every morning when Liam comes down after waking up, he always goes, I gotta turn on my Santa. And he goes and he runs and turns it on. And then Santa is on from about 7 a.m. until 12:30-ish when he goes down for a nap, and we can finally turn Santa off. And then promptly around 2:30 when he comes down from his nap, he turns Santa back on until about 7 when he goes to bed. So Santa's literally just climbing a ladder all day. And then his second decoration is his Rudolph, which is like, you know the inflatable ones you put out in your yard? It's his Rudolph, and oh my goodness, if it's not on, we have a problem. Especially like all day we hear, when's Rudolph going to turn on? Daddy, is Rudolph on yet? And I'm like, when does Rudolph turn on, Liam? And he goes, oh, it turns on at dinner time. So every evening now around like 5, he looks out the window and goes, oh, Rudolph's on! Because it turns on with a timer, and he freaks out. And honestly, again, through the eyes of the child, like the joy of the Christmas season is so good. And we get to really lean into it this year. I feel like we need the joy of Christmas more than ever this year. And so this idea of Emmanuel, of God with us, only just recently in this current season, in this year, began to fascinate me. Obviously, I know how important the word is. I know it's God's name and the importance of Jesus being called Emmanuel, but all the more in this season specifically, it has begun to take on like a new, deep importance for me, and I hope it will for all of us too as when we're finished here today. So, in a season full of stay-at-home orders, social distancing, this happened to me yesterday in the store, apologizing for walking too close to someone. As I walked through the aisle of a Fred Meyer, a person promptly let me know I was walking too close to them. So I apologized nicely and just tried to go about my day, but I never thought I would be apologizing for walking too closely to people. In a season of FaceTime and Zoom, and never being able to see someone's facial expression. This is really hard for me because I'm full of really funny facial expressions and I have not been able to show them hardly at all. So I've just been dying slowly inside for months. And when it seems like no one can be with us, here's the important thing to remember, church. When it seems like no one can be with us or the people we want to be with us, God is with us. And Jesus and God are called by a few different names throughout the Bible. I can't go into all these names this morning because if I went into all of them, we'd probably be here until Christmas. And we'd probably set the Guinness World Record for like the longest church live stream. But he has three names I'm going to go over this morning that are, I'd say, especially right now, are his three more popular names. We have Emmanuel, which I've mentioned earlier, which is Hebrew for God with us. His literal first name, Jesus, which means deliverer or rescuer, deliverer and rescuer, and then Christ, which is the one of his popular names that he has that is actually not Hebrew, it's Greek, which means anointed one. And these names are what I would say, and I'm not a biblical scholar, are like the three more popular names we have for Jesus. One being his literal first name, so like obviously that's the most popular name we have for him. But when we think of Jesus, we can think of Jesus, Christ, and Emmanuel, especially as we enter right now as the Christmas season. Emmanuel is our name of choice. A lot of songs, a lot of the Christmas songs that talk about Jesus use the name Emmanuel, God with us. And it actually comes from Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, is where this word Emmanuel comes from. So it says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And I chose to bring up these names today because it helps us to really see and know and understand the importance of God with us. The importance of God remaining with us and in us. We needed an anointed deliverer to come and be with us. We still need today an anointed deliverer to come and be with us. This is a topic we actually recently went over with our youth students. As we have been teaching through the book of John, we've been going through the book of John since I think August, because John's a pretty hefty book to go through, especially for students. We're trying to break it down as basic and as good as we can to really see the heart of God through the book of John. And so as we've been teaching through John, we came up to over some of Jesus's I am statements. And the last one we actually taught on before this most recent freeze happened, we were in John 15, where Jesus makes the I am statement where he says, I am the vine. And I'm going to read this to you really quick because it's so good. It says, in John chapter 15, verses 5 through 7, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. We can stop right there and it's like solid, but we'll keep going. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. And we read this, and I was teaching through this with our students, and it was almost the same. It's not the exact same message here, obviously, because that would be cheating for me just to use the same sermon twice. No one's ever done that. But we asked the question of our students, Because really quickly, what we do at Youth Group is we have students show up, they get to hang out, and we have been doing socially distanced. We wear masks outside. We wear masks especially inside. We actually, the first thing we do when we get inside is like, hey, make sure you're wearing your mask. We don't say it like that, but... And we have like a cool, fun welcome. We usually always play a game. We have worship every night. Someone speaks. And then my favorite part of the night, and actually what we're finding is our students' favorite part of the night, we take 30 minutes from 7:30 to 8, and we break out into small groups based on the students' age range and gender. So middle school age kind of girls with middle school age girls, middle school boys together, high school boys and girls. And we break out, and we get to ask them questions. They get to dialogue. They get to kind of break down what they just heard or even just ask questions they have in general. In these smaller group settings where things are more intimate, students can be more vulnerable and trust that the things that they say in these groups aren't going to leave the groups, but that they get to then have a like metaphorical iron sharpens iron moment with each other. And our goal for these is that students then help each other and us as the leaders get to sit back and watch it happen. It's so fulfilling to be a small group leader in youth group because you just watch students discover more and more about Jesus and how much he cares for them, and you get to just sit back with the biggest smile on your face. But we asked this question in these small groups a couple weeks ago, and it says, we said, when has there been a time in your life when you knew God was with you? When you knew like God had remained with you? And honestly, in my small group, I was with the high school guys at this point because I kind of jump around. And I asked this question, and I got a very wide range of answers. Like, one guy was like, you know, one time I fell down the stairs, and, like, literally fell down the stairs, and I just got up, and I was totally fine. And I think God was with me there, and I was like, okay. And another guy was like, oh, yeah, speak of, like, one time I think I should have died, but I didn't. I think God was with me there. And then one of the guys was like, this one time, like, I really felt called to pray for someone, and so I went and did. And I feel like God was with me there. And I was like, oh, great answer. That's great. But then I was really convicted in that moment where I was like, the other two guys' answers were just as good as this guy. And I was really convicted to, because I was expecting the overly spiritual answers or the overly spiritual responses from our students. Like, God can be with me when I'm deep in prayer. Or God can be with me when I'm going through this really hard situation and I ask him for help and then he's there for me. But it opened up my mind to where I was leading into this sermon of God is with us literally all the time, even in the smallest things, in the biggest things, when we're falling down the stairs, God is with us. When we're praying for someone, God is with us. When I'm talking with my three-year-old about how, no, he cannot, like, climb the like to the highest point in our house on our counters and then jump off onto our tile floor, God's with me there. Like, I definitely need him in that moment. It humbled me and reminded me that there are so many different ways that God is with us. It's not just the overly spiritual ways. It's the fact that God is with us all the time. And it's a never-ending, not-ending thing and a relationship that we get to experience with God. I would even go far to say is that God has his heart, his hands, in every aspect and part of our lives. Whether we know it or not, God is involved in every part of our lives. My challenge right now would be to open up your eyes to the ways that God is involved in your life and then begin to thank him for that. I oftentimes forget to thank God for a lot of the good things I have because I think that I did it myself and that I got those things for myself. But I have to constantly remind myself that, no, like every good thing I have is from God, 100%. Even when things have become less and less church about God with us and more about just us, God still remains in us. I mean, again, I'm full of like Christmas references today, and I'm so sorry, but I love Christmas. Even in like Linus from Charlie Brown Christmas knew what it was really about. And props to like Peanuts and Charlie Brown for talking about Jesus back in the day. Shows don't do that as much anymore. I wish they would. God and Christmas being about God being born to come and live among us and live with us and to save his creation from itself. And honestly, we kind of need to be saved from ourselves more often than I think we would admit, too. Quick backstory about me. I love to sleep. Sleep now as an adult man with a wife and a child has become less important in my life. and fewer and farther between. Luckily, our son, Liam, sleeps great, and he's on a very good schedule, but it obviously wasn't always that way. But when I was a teenager on like middle schooler and high schooler, I historically and famously always slept in. And I had brothers who didn't sleep in as much as I did, but I always chose to sleep in when I could. The problem with that was, is I have a father who is a tremendous dad, by the way, best dad I could have asked for, who never sleeps in. Historically, he has always gone to work around 5 a.m. because he was a machinist, a machinist, and now he's an engineer. And he's one of those jobs where you get an early start to the day and you finish early. Like, it's really great for him. But so he's always just historically woken up early. And on our weekends, he wanted to get stuff done. And on my weekends, I wanted to sleep. And honestly, I've thanked my dad for this before, but I can thank him now in front of, you know, however many viewers are watching right now. Thank you for dragging me out of bed on some of those mornings and forcing me to be productive and actually do things. I'm never going to hear the end of this now, though. But like, I honestly, like, as a young guy, had to be saved for myself a little bit, because I would make the choice to, and it's not a dumb choice to do this every now and then, but to stay up super late playing like video games or doing something else dumb. And then sleep in to make up for the sleep I lost. But then I had a father who had a car to work on, had chores to do, or, hey, let's go ride motorcycles. Actually, one time, my dad woke me up to go ride dirt bikes, and I was like, Dad, I'm too tired. I don't want to go. And literally saved me from myself and drug me physically out of bed. And it's like, you're going to come riding dirt bikes with me and your brothers. Let's go. And then at the end of the day, I was like, Dad, thanks for dragging me out of bed. Like, this was fun. But it's so true, right? Like, we need a God to sometimes just pull us out of bed or pull us out of our circumstances or our situations and say, like, look, here, just let me save you from yourself a little bit. We need and actually have a God who will do that for us. It's I love that about God, because there's been times in my life I can literally point to and know, like, wow, God literally pulled me out of bed and saved me from myself in that moment because I was being really selfish or dumb. And now, church, one of the more powerful things about Emmanuel and God with us is that Jesus came, and he did live among us, and he did die among us, and then he left. But the reason why Jesus, they said his name will be called Emmanuel, is because even though Jesus died, and he rose again, hallelujah, praise God, and he ascended into heaven, he left, but he was still with us. He gave us his Holy Spirit to come and live among us and live in us and never leave us. Jesus left and God left, but he never left. The idea of Emmanuel and this God with us has not ended since the day it started over 2,000 years ago. When Jesus was born, when we celebrate Christmas and Jesus' birth, God with us in that moment has not ceased to be with us since the day Jesus was born. I mean, you could argue that God's always been with us because he's all-powerful, he's all-knowing, he's in everything. But in physical and spiritual form, since the day Jesus was born, we can honestly say that God has always been with us. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "And you also were included with Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked with him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit." And so, church, God has always been with us, but through salvation, because the salvation we have through Jesus, God can now be in us and is now in us. I love that. I love it so much, honestly. From the moment you first believe, it says, we have had the Holy Spirit live in us. And God is always with us, but with salvation, he comes and he resides in us. And the difference here, church, is that between God being with us and every living person who's like in, God, like, is in everything and always around with every living person, whether they know him or not. God's always right there with us. See, God's Spirit has been here among us for a very, very long time. Since the beginning, God's Spirit dwelled and made up residence in a select few people and a select few places. You look at some of the kings of Israel who God's Spirit dwelled on, and you look at the tabernacle that God's people built in the desert, or the temple that they built in Jerusalem, God's Spirit resided in these in a few select places. And before we go through, I want to talk about this idea of God's tabernacle, of the word tabernacle. I did more word research in this sermon than I think I have in any other sermon before, like looking up the meaning of biblical words. And the tabernacle is what the Israelites constructed for God's Spirit to dwell in. God's Spirit would come and reside in it. It would cover it up. People couldn't look at it or be in its presence because it was too powerful for their sin to contain. And they built this tabernacle for God's Spirit to be present in. And the word tabernacle literally means, when translated from Hebrew, a residence or a dwelling place. A residence or a dwelling place. See, before church, before Jesus, it was 100% always about God being with us. How God could be with us, close by us or around us, how we could build a tabernacle or a temple for him to be, his presence to be with us, around us. After Jesus, it has always been about God in us. God with us, yes, now, because Jesus came and dwelled among us, but we now get to have God's Spirit take up residence in us. We get to be the tabernacle. We get to be the temple. We get to be God's residence. We get to be God's dwelling place, where he comes and he lives in us. And wherever we go, God is in us and he's with the people around us. We get God with us and God in us. We get like the best of both worlds there. I feel bad for people before Jesus a little bit. If you think about it, we kind of actually have it better than the people who before Jesus, but I'm impartial. We now get to be God's dwelling place, and we now get the opportunity to lead people to God, just like God did with the Israelites in the desert. We can lead people out of those desolate, those hopeless places and point them to Jesus. Because the whole point of the tabernacle and in the desert with the Israelites, where they were following the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of smoke by day, is they were following God's presence. They were following his Spirit and his presence wherever it went. And when it stopped, they stopped. They put up the tabernacle and they were good. They followed God's presence wherever it went. And church, now that God's presence is in us, his Spirit literally dwells and takes up, I love the word it uses, residence. Takes up residence in our hearts and our lives and ourselves. We are now God's Spirit walking through the desert, leading people to salvation. We can let everything we do point back to the glory of God in our lives and in other people's lives. Because God's Spirit in us, we now get to be that pillar of fire, which sounds really cool to me, by night, and pillar of cloud by day, for people wandering in their desolate, broken, desert places. Because church, God often takes us to desolate places to show us his power. God often takes us to these desolate places to work a miracle. One of my favorite examples of this, and this is something I've been kind of tackling for myself this whole year, about desolate places and what God does in them, is one of the coolest miracles Jesus does is multiplying the loaves and the fishes into feeding 4,000 or 5,000 people. And the great part about that story is it starts out by one of his disciples saying, "This is a desolate place. Where are we going to get this much food for these many people?" And I think Jesus knew what he was doing when he walked out into a desolate place with that many people following him. He knew, hey, I'm going to bring these people out here to work a miracle. I'm going to bring this crowd out here with me to teach them and show them my power. And church, we can go out into the desolate places, or we can find the people who feel like they're in a desert with no food, no water, nothing going for them, and we can show them God's power through our lives, or just by the way we treat them, by the way we act towards them, by the words we use. We can be God's power or God's Spirit in those desolate places. We just have to be willing to find those people and go to them, which I understand now is harder than ever. We can help people get there, church, honestly, because God is with us. And as we close today, I want to challenge us all to really take a look at the name Emmanuel today. I don't care how many minutes you spend, even if it's just one, take time today to sit and think about Emmanuel, God with us. And I would even say ask yourself the same question we asked our students a couple weeks ago. Ask yourself this. What does God with us, or what does God with me mean to me? And or when was a time I can say that God was with me? And church, hold on to that in this season. Take the time to hold on to that. Take the time to really hold on to it and not let go. Because it's important. We need to remember those moments God was with us, especially when we feel like he's not. Because there's times when it feels like he's not, even though he is. There's times when it feels like he's not with us. And in those moments, sit down and say to yourself, what does God with us mean to me? You can take this, honestly, you can take this to yourself. I would encourage you, take it to your family. Sit down with your family and ask this question today. Or, you know, ask your neighbors or your friends. Ask your barista if you're one of those people who has long, in-depth life conversations with your baristas. I try to do that, but right now, most baristas are like, don't talk to me. I might die. Sorry, that wasn't in my notes, so that's what you get when I speak off my notes. You know, ask your boss if you're comfortable having that conversation. Find people in your life to, if you feel comfortable with this too, go to other people and, hey, what does God with us mean to you? What does Emmanuel mean to you? And start the conversation with someone else. We may not be able to see, talk, or even like be within 6 feet of people that we want to be right now. But one thing is for sure, church, we will always have God with us. If you're going to hear me say one thing today, hear this and be encouraged by the fact that no matter how distant we have to remain from every other living person or thing on this planet, God doesn't have to be 6 feet away from you. We don't have to keep God at 6 feet away. We can let God be right here. And honestly, for those of you who are listening this morning and think, I don't think I've ever really asked God to come and be with me or even be in me, take a moment and sit down. And it's as easy as asking him to come and fill you and be in you. And if you need help with that, you can go online, you can email me. I'd love to have that conversation with you. Or you can email info@canbyfoursquare.com. Or our website has a page called Knowing Jesus. And we'd love, if you're struggling with this right now, or if you're feeling like, I really want this aspect or this idea of God with me, I don't know what it looks like, you can go to our website and click on Knowing Jesus. And it gives you a really great read about just who God is, who Jesus is, and what it means for you. If that's you this morning, please take a moment and just pray and ask God to be with you this morning. And then go and learn more about what that looks like for you. But church, take the time, ask those questions. What does God with us mean to me? What does God with us mean to my family? What does God with us mean to my work environment? What does God with us mean to the place that I live? Look inward this morning, church, and take the time to really look at what God with us or what God in you means for you. Let's pray. God, thank you for the ability to still have church and to still have you with us in a season where we could give up and not even try. Lord, I'm grateful to be part of a church and a part of a team that is not okay with not trying our hardest or our best to continue to spread your love and your gospel, your story, and the power of the gift of you being born to our world and the places we live, Lord. God, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done in this church and in our community. Lord, I pray that as a church, we would be effective and powerful at letting God be with us and being those that power and your authority and your miracles in the desolate places and in the places in other people's lives, Lord, where we can show them that you are with them, where we can show them that you are with us, Lord. And God, where we can just really push your power forward. And God, live in that power and live in that authority, Lord, to be able to be your light in the darkness, to be able to be your voice in the crowd, and God, to be able to be just the calming presence in a room or in a world today where nothing seems like it's going right. God, I pray that we would be your church and that we would be your people who bring life and love to everyone around us. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning, church. We love you. We can't wait to see you back next Sunday at 9 and 11. You students, we'll see you at 11 a.m. back up in the youth center, and we'll have a lot of fun and a good time. So Merry Christmas, everyone. I can say that without any reservations now. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.